The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite my young friends for a children's message, calling all kids.
Love you, God.
Love you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When we're asked to ponder in our lives, who are the people that have made the greatest impact on us? It seems right that we would turn to those who we've had long relationships with. That parents and other family, longtime friends and fellow church members, Sunday school teachers and pastors, co-workers, those who we are in long and fruitful relationships seem like the obvious answer. But it is often in our lives that those who have the greatest impact are only with us for a moment. Have you ever had a nurse in the hospital who cared for you or your loved one, who delivered your baby, who you only saw for that one shift, and that was it? Yet they had a great impact in your life. Have you ever had someone stop and help you on the side of the road, the tow truck driver who came out on the dark and rainy night to help you when things felt lost? Have you ever had the person who could see that you were having a bad day and had the courage to ask if you were okay and to remind you to hang in there? In the grand scheme of life, these are but small moments, but they make great impact. Ask the diners in Tennessee at the Waffle House whose lives were changed by the heroic action of a fellow diner. Or those on that Southwest flight where that could have been a much worse situation save not for the heroic efforts of the captain that day. They'll never cross paths again, but that brief moment made a profound impact. And that, my friends, is the gift of this text we hear today from the book of Acts. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, I shared that throughout the Easter season, the 7 Sundays that follow Easter, we put aside having an Old Testament text as our first lesson. And instead, we hear stories from the book of Acts, which is written by the same author who wrote the Gospel of Luke, a continuation after Jesus' story of the story of the church and the first apostles, and how the church struggled and flourished and grew during that time. And so today, on this day, in this story, we encounter one of those apostles who is sent down a deserted road by the Holy Spirit. Philip isn't quite sure what he'll encounter until along the way he sees a magnificent chariot full of an entourage of people who surround a Ethiopian eunuch. This person is well regarded in Queen Candace's court because they are in charge of the treasury. They are one given great authority. And as the Ethiopian Jews did, they would make their way to Jerusalem for pilgrimages to worship, as Hebrew scripture called for. Yet on the way home, the Ethiopian longed to know more, reading Isaiah and longing to understand what this story of sacrifice meant. And so in that moment, Philip appears, sent by the Holy Spirit, invited to ride along in the chariot. And in answering the question, not only providing a simple answer, but tells the whole story of Christ Jesus our Lord. Imagine a car ride where the person next to you told you the entire gospel account of Jesus' life. That's what Philip did. And so there was a point where the Ethiopian was so overwhelmed by this story of Christ that when he saw water outside, he called for the chariot to stop and asked Philip, "Why not here? Why not now?" And in Philip's profession of faith, in his telling of the story, the Ethiopian was moved to baptism, and there in that moment, by the power of the Holy Spirit, invited to join that church proclaimed throughout Acts. And just as quick as all that begun, Philip disappears, brought to a new place to continue to proclaim the word of God. We don't know how exactly long that was, but it wasn't long. It wasn't overnight. It might have just been a few hours. But in that time, Philip made a profound impact on the Ethiopian, an impact that changed his life forever. And so today, as we gather in this place and we hear this familiar story once again of how the early church was bringing in people by simply telling the story of God's love, we are reminded that our call continues. and that we too are like Philip, invited in those moments to make a profound impact in our small interactions. And so today I use this time, this sermon, as a challenge, as an invitation to encourage you to ponder how you might make an impact on behalf of the gospel of our Lord. How you might, and no matter how scary this word sounds, evangelize, which is simply more, nothing more than sharing the good news of Christ Jesus in your life. I know that sounds scary. I know that sounds daunting. I know none of us feel like we have the knowledge of Scripture that Philip did to go and recount things. But the beautiful text of 1 John that we heard just a moment ago is a reminder that it isn't necessarily done in words, but done in action, done in love. And 1 John over and over again reminds us that to abide in God and to live in God's love means that we are called to love our neighbor. And that in love of neighbor, Christ's message is truly spread. A few years ago, I was on a flight and I found myself sitting next to a young lady who seemed to be in a panic. She did not want to turn off her cell phones as the flight attendant announced that now it was time as we were beginning to depart. You could tell that whatever conversation she was having in text was not only important to her, but causing her great distress. And so being the slightly nosy person that I am, I asked, "Is everything okay?" And she said, "No, not really. My sister is at our destination. She's in trouble. She's not well. She needs to be committed for a little while, but she's unwilling to do it. I'm going down and hoping and praying that I might be able to guide her through that." We talked for a little while. We talked about her sister. We talked about her experiences. We talked about how I've been there before with others. Never did I mention that I was a pastor. Never did I proclaim any word of Scripture. Rather, we just rode on that flight together talking. And as she turned on her phone as we landed, it was then she asked, "What do you do?" And I told her that I would keep her in prayer. My friends, making an impact on people happens in our daily lives. It's when we sit in the waiting room and instead of just staring around, actually engage one another in conversation, knowing that all of our days are made better when we're given a sense of hope and companionship, even if just for a few moments. It's that willingness to recognize that the people around us do look like they're having a bad day and offering them words of encouragement and otherwise. It's our willingness to be there and listen to those who never feel like they're heard. It's our willingness to reach out and encounter the person who may never be reached out to because they give off that vibe. And as scary as that seems, as hard and as daunting as this challenge might be, remember the words of 1 John. Perfect love, a love that we share on behalf of God. Perfect love cast out all fear. That we can be emboldened and empowered through the Holy Spirit to not be afraid of these interactions and to just once this week try and do this and see what it brings. And I'd love to hear what happens. I'd love for you to share in an email or in a phone call or next time we gather together in person to say what that experience was like. It might not always be fruitful, but we know that God is at work. And that's why the imagery of these vines in the gospel text this day makes sense. Because maybe if this passage was written in Southern, it might be better proclaimed as, "And the kudzu of God is at work." These vines connected to the branch of Christ Jesus our Lord, they're infectious and they keep growing and growing everywhere to bear fruit in the world around us. And that's how God works in you. To intertwine with all those other vines in your life, those which stay with you every step of the way, and those that only might meet for a moment. But in that moment, a great impact is made. And so in our vines, in the fruit of God's creation made known through us, may we be bold to reveal God's love. When we sing one of my favorite hymns, "For the Fruit of All Creation," in a moment's time, read verse 2 as you're singing it as a charge, as a reminder that God compels us and guides us to go out into the world, to abide in God by sharing God's love with others. To not be afraid of that challenge and to see what that leads to. Because we might encounter grace just like Philip did in a surprising way beyond all measure. I love the stories of the season of Easter made known to us in Acts because it's a reminder that God built the church in ways beyond our imagination or capacity. And God continues to do that here in Augsburg in ways beyond our imagination, in ways beyond our perceived capacity. For the fruit of all creation continues to grow. May God be at work in you. And may the branches of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to share God's love all the places we bear fruit, even if only for a moment. Thanks be to God. Amen.